Welcome to the Milestone Mama Podcast. I'm your host, Chelsea Hollis, wife, boy mom, and former fitness instructor turned photographer, educator, and birth doula. Becoming a mom in 2020 completely changed my life. And even though it was the greatest joy I've ever felt, it definitely came with some challenges that no one could have ever prepared me for. But I found so much healing and community, and that's why this podcast was born. Tune in each week as we uncover all of the nuances of being a mom, from pregnancy, birth, postpartum, and everything in between. If you're ready to connect, to grow, to learn, to feel inspired, seen, and heard, then you've come to the right place. And I'm so glad you're here, Mama. Let's go ahead and get this thing started. Okay, welcome back to Milestone Mama. I am so excited to record another birth story today, one that's very special to me. This is one of my Milestone Mamas, Alex, here with us today. And I shot her, your gender reveal, right? Maternity session and her newborn pictures with her baby girl, Reggie, and she's going to be telling that birth story today. So thank you so much for being here.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad that I could finally find time in the last year to do this. So thank you.
I know. It's been a long time coming. I don't even know this full story either. We were just chatting before I hit record and I was like, I'm excited because I don't really know the details. We kind of like briefly skimmed over it when we did your newborns, but at that point it was all still so new. So yes, it'll be fun to hear your recount of it over a year later. So I'm just going to go ahead and let you take the floor. You can start at whichever point you feel like the story begins.
All right. Well, I guess I'll just start at the beginning. So one thing about me is I am very big into research, reading books. I like to know like the nitty gritty of every single detail when it comes to anything that I'm doing in life. So when I found out I was pregnant, you know, I bought every book that the internet told me to buy, read everything. But for whatever reason, my brain just decided to block out the birth part. So actually in every single book that I have, my bookmark is right before it gets to labor and delivery. I read every book until it got to that point. I just said, this is something I have to do. And I know this is what my body is made for. So I'm just going to go in and it's going to be fine. And that's pretty much what I told myself the whole 8.5 months, which everyone thought was kind of crazy. And I agree now looking back. But I'm glad I did it that way. So we kind of knew, you know, what to expect. I said, if I can breastfeed, good for me. If I can't, I'm fine. If I need a C-section, I will heal. It will be okay. And I had kind of heard, you know, other people's birth stories and different things. And I think I just wasn't aware of all of the resources that you can have because I had, you know, obviously not read those portions of the book. So after I met Chelsea and she did our our gender reveal photo shoot, you know, you had started talking about your doula and your kind of experiences with that. And then I started researching that side of things and decided to get a doula in our area. So we live in Wilmington, but my doctor's office was actually in Chapel Hill. So I drove back and forth for my appointments. It was just how my insurance worked at the time. So we found an awesome doula in Chapel Hill. We did all of our, you know, Zoom calls with her because we were still kind of in the very beginning stages of COVID and everything with the pandemic, which actually worked out for us, you know, being able to do those Zooms and kind of like pivoting to more of an online learning when it came to that. So Brennan and I absolutely loved her. We loved getting to learn about what to expect in the hospital, what to expect with her. And I truly am so grateful that you mentioned that and talked about it so much on your stories and everything with Instagram, because I really don't think that I would have known about that. It's not something my mom had, his mom, like anyone I'd really talked to before. So we had a whole plan with our doula. I wanted to have an epidural. I wanted to be like one of those really cute Instagram, you know, moms. during my delivery, and she knew that. So I just wanted her there kind of for support to explain to the doctors what I wanted and have, you know, her be able to explain to us what they were saying, if there were any complications or anything. And I guess I was probably 7 months pregnant, 6.5 months. We were having dinner with one of our friends. She's actually coming over for dinner tonight. So hopefully she'll hear this whenever it's live. But we were talking about labor and delivery and just different things, what we were expecting when we met our baby. And she just very casually said, "Well, you're not going to have an epidural, right?" And I said, "No, I definitely am. Like 100% going in right away." And she said, "Oh, you just seem like someone that wouldn't," just casually, like, you know, dinner conversation. And that just kind of got my wheels turning. And I was like, if she thinks I'm like, I can do it without it, like maybe I can. And it just kind of stuck in my brain and really honestly never went away. So we kind of changed our plan with our doula. And it kind of got me more into the research mode and looking into things and different books about like breathing techniques and all of these things. Brennan read his books too. So it honestly, just that one little comment just totally changed my mindset about what I wanted for my birth. I don't know why, I just thought this was something I could never do. And I'm glad that she said that. So I always joke with her that she changed my birth plan, because she truly did. Which is great. I'm grateful for her that she did that.
It's so cool how, like, and it might be different for everybody, you know. So, I mean, some people might have not responded well to that, but obviously she knew you well enough that, like, she was right, right? She knew that, like, oh, I heard that. Maybe I am capable of this. And sometimes that's all it takes, is like, some women go into it and they're like, I just want, it's not even about, you know, the comments that I get really frustrated about is when people say things like, well, why go through that if you don't have to, or like, you don't get a trophy or whatever it might be. And it's like, that's not the point. The point is like, there's more to it, that the mother giving birth like desires for her experience, whether it's just to reduce any sort of risk or to just accomplish something that she set her mind to, the same way you would run a marathon or something like that, you know. And that's not any shame to anybody that decides to use other techniques or pain management. It's just a personal decision. So yeah, it's just so neat how everybody's like mindset is around it, because it's so different for everybody.
Yes. And that, for me, mindset was such a huge thing. I kind of have always joked, like, I just speak things into existence. And my mom has kind of always made fun of me, because it's so true. And I take it very lightly, and I just say like, oh, you know, I always wanted that and now I have it, or I always wanted this and, you know, it kind of worked out that way. And my mom used to say, you know, you speaking it and talking about it and telling people, that makes things happen, because it just like is always kind of in the back of your mind. And so you're always working towards that, whether you realize it or not.
Yeah.
And I did that, I think, a lot with this birth. So once, you know, I had that comment, and I just went into it full mindset, and every single day, you know, I bounced on my ball and I did all my things, because I was still working. And I would just say, you know, wouldn't November 11th be such a cool birthday? Like 11/11/2020, that's just the best birthday. Like, I always make a wish on 11/11 when it's that time. And I probably said that for the whole last month of my pregnancy. And I would say, you know, I decided not to do cervical checks or anything prior to, just because I am one of those people that would psych myself out if they said, you're not dilated at all, you know, and you're 2 weeks away or whatever. And I said, nope, I'm not worried about it. I'm going to go to the hospital. They're going to say I'm 4 centimeters. It's going to be fine. And everyone was like, why do you keep saying this? I'm like, I'm just going to talk it into existence. It's going to happen. It's going to be fine. I'm not worried about it.
What was your original due date?
My original due date was November the 20th.
Okay.
So actually, originally, at our very first appointment, because Reggie was a COVID baby, so we only had our appointments at 12 and 20 weeks instead of, you know, 7 to 8 weeks. When we had our first appointment, it was actually virtual. There wasn't even an ultrasound at 8 weeks. And I, you know, gave them, you know, you give them all your information and everything like that. And they said my due date was November 11th. So I thought that was so cool. I loved that birthday. And then when we actually did the ultrasound, it came that it was the 20th. But I just had it in my head that 11/11 was the best birthday, that she had to have that. So it was actually, you know, we go to our last appointment. Well, what ended up being our last appointment. So it was our 38-week appointment on a Monday. And, you know, they give you all the numbers to call and what if this would happen. And, you know, so I drive back here, which is about from here to my hospital was just under 3 hours. So actually the game plan was at 39 weeks, I was going to go and stay up with my mom. And Brennan would just drive back and forth on the weekends, you know, until I went into labor or I had to be induced. Because of her size, they were always worried about how small she was, before she was born. So everyone kind of assumed that I was going to be late, so that maybe my due date was wrong. And that I would probably end up being induced just based on her size. So I was not worried about going up there at 39 weeks. I thought that was fine. So actually it was a Monday and I had my appointment up there, drove, which for anyone, please do not drive at 38 weeks. You will get super swollen. It was not a pleasant experience for me. So drove back here. You know, they said that she had shifted slightly. She had always been head down, like in the quote unquote perfect position. And then at that appointment, she had shifted. So her spine, instead of being like, you know, where my belly is, it was over to the side, which they said was fine. They could shift it during labor, no big deal. And then on Tuesday, I was working from home and I had like backache all day, which I don't normally have. And I texted one of my friends around noon who now has two children, but at the time had one. And I said, do you think this is labor or just backache? Like fun questions at 38 weeks pregnant. And she said, Steph, definitely not labor, but do you think I should buy this purse? So we have like this whole text back and forth about, should she buy this purse now? Because I definitely wasn't in labor. And I do feel like, just to kind of say one thing, when people say what it feels like to be in labor, I don't think people, or at least I had never talked to anyone that really could fully describe it. So I didn't truly know. Like when people say, you know, call when your contractions are at whatever. Well, I didn't know what contractions felt like. No one could really tell me. Everyone kind of gave me a different answer. Even the nurses, they just said, you'll know. I didn't know. So
yeah. And you're right. Like we all go into it for the first time. It's like, we don't know what that's going to feel like by any means. And I think we're under this impression that it's like, oh, we'll know exactly what it is. It'll have a finite start and finish, and we'll know what that feels like. And it's going to be like these surges. But most of the time, it doesn't really get like that until very near the end. And even then, yeah, it's like really hard to tell. Like, you can feel it coming on, but it's like such a crescendo that it would be hard for me to be like, all right, this one's starting and now it's stopping. Like, exactly. You know what I'm saying? It's a very weird, yeah. I don't know. It's very hard to measure, I guess.
It is. And because she had shifted at that last appointment, you know, in my mind, I was like, it's going to feel like period cramps, but intensified. So that's kind of what I always imagined. And all of my friends were induced and then had their epidurals right away. So no one could really give me, no one who had had babies recently could really tell me exactly what it was going to feel like.
Right.
Because she had moved, I actually had only back labor. So all day when I was thinking, like, did I do the dishes stand for too long? Was it because I drove yesterday? Like, I was just thinking my back hurt because I was in the car for 5 hours. That had to be it. That text message was the only thought that I put into it, because I just had never known anyone who had just back labor. So go to bed that night. I was usually up till midnight. You know, you don't really sleep like at that point because you're so uncomfortable. Got up to go to the bathroom at like 12:30. And as soon as I stood up, my water broke. And I kind of thought, I think this is what it looks like to have your water break. Like, I've seen it on TV. This is not what it looked like, but I'm going to guess. And called for Brennan. I said, I think my water broke. Do you want to come in here? He woke up, came into the bathroom, cleaned it up off the floor. And he said, I think you're fine. Went back to sleep. Like, he was so tired. Literally, he was like, there's no way. Went back to sleep. Now it's like 12:30. I'm like, you know, I feel like something is happening. Like, I think we need to go. We did not have our hospital bag packed. We had really nothing because I was thinking I was going to do all this in Chapel Hill. So we were just going to bring everything up there. You know, I'd have plenty of time to pack it. And I start putting everything in the bags. I'm like labeling Ziploc bags with all these things that Instagram said that we needed. I had everything, like a suitcase ready to go. And he's just like, you're crazy. Like, you're fine. There's no way. So I called my nurse line, which was at Duke in Durham. And they said, you know, if you're having contractions, come to the hospital in 2 hours. I was like, oh, well, it takes about 2 hours to get there, like 2.5 hours. So let's just get in the car. Worst case, they tell me you're crazy. It was nothing. And we spend the night at my mom's and go home. So that's kind of what we were thinking. We started to pack up, and our dog, who is normally the most calm, literally just sleeps all day dog, unless the UPS guy comes, was freaking out, like running back and forth, barking. He would not leave my side. He was just in a full panic. And I was like, Brennan, I think he knows something's happening. Like, I think I'm in labor. So we get in the car and he's like, well, should I go to the hospital? Should I go to Raleigh? I'm like, just go, just get in the car and like, just be efficient. Like, let's just go. So we get in the car with all of our stuff. And of course he says, well, we're out of gas. If we're going to drive all the way there, we need to stop for gas. So we stop at a gas station. He goes inside because it's like midnight. So you have to pay inside. And I'm just like, okay, I really can't sit down right now. Like, I'm uncomfortable. So he gets back in the car. We get one exit and I'm like, what are you doing? We have to go to the hospital. And he said, no, I am. I'm going to the hospital, like back home. I was like, you need to go to the hospital here immediately right now. So he like pulls off the highway. He claims he was going the speed limit. Looking back, I would say he was maybe going about 5 miles an hour is how it felt. He could not remember where the hospital was. We had never done a dry run here because we weren't having a baby here.
Right.
So we get there, check in, go up. The woman, I said, I truly, I'm not sure. I was like, I'm uncomfortable. I've never been this uncomfortable. I'm going to say I'm probably not in labor, but I do think that my water broke. So now this woman thinks I'm insane. Because I was trying to just say, like, I think I'm fine. I don't want to inconvenience you, but maybe if you could just have someone like check. She asked me what my pain level was. I said it was about a 2 out of 10. She literally laughed at me. She was like, I think that you're fine. You're going to go home. And I was like, well, we're already here. So let's just see what they have to say. I was like, I'm fine if I'm because if I was standing up, my pain was a 2. If I was sitting down, it was a 10. I mean, like an 8 or a 10. I think just because of where she was sitting, anything like sitting or being on my back was so uncomfortable. I just needed to stay standing. And that's what I kept telling them. So we get there. This is the 10th. So I was so excited. But we get there, you know, change. They checked everything. And she says, well, she has a lot of hair. And I was like, so I guess I'm in labor. She said, you're 4 centimeters. You cannot leave. I was like, this isn't really my hospital, so we should just probably just get our stuff and go. She said, you cannot leave. We'll get you into a room. You can get all of your stuff when you're in your room and everything. So fine. So we took a selfie before we went to our room. It was 3:33 a.m. by the time we got into our room and everything. And we get there. We had our phones and our keys. And nothing else, because they said we could bring everything in later. It would be leisurely. It would be fine. So we get into our room. And honestly, I know that it's important to, be sitting or the monitor, you know, had to stay on my stomach. And I understand that, but I was just to the point where like, if one person tells me to lay down, like I will just freak out. Like I need to be standing. It was just one of those like panic moments set in for me. Because like they say, like never make a plan because it will go differently. So we had, you know, my doula wasn't there. I had planned to have a tub in my room, didn't have a tub in my room. I just didn't know any of these doctors. I had never been to this hospital before. And as soon as we like walked into our like birthing room and I saw that there was no tub, I just fully like panicked. It just like fully hit me that it wasn't happening the way that I wanted it to happen. So I said, I'm just going to throw my whole birth plan out the window. I was like, you can call someone. I'm ready for my epidural now. Like bring it on. And so, you know, we waited, we stayed in there, and I truly think Brennan was in shock. And I don't think he really understood what was going on. And because I was panicking because I didn't have any of my stuff, like I was like, where's my robe and my pillow and like all these things. And I do think as much as I told myself, prepare for the unexpected, when it actually is unexpected, it takes you more off guard, or at least it did for me, mm-hmm. A lot more than I thought it was going to take me off guard. The nurses were amazing. Like I loved everything about this hospital. The doctor who delivered her was outstanding. She was a resident. I'm devastated because I wish that was her field and I would have gone to her for 10 babies. But yeah, so once we kind of realized like we are stuck there and we are having this baby today, I was like, if I can't have anything that I want, at least put on some music. That will help me. Brennan had cultivated like the perfect Spotify playlist for 2 months beforehand, and I had never heard it. It was going to be a surprise. So I was so excited to hear it. In the moment, I actually didn't really care, but looking back, I was very excited to hear it. And he put it on. Luckily, the nurses allowed me to stay standing for a little while anyway. And as soon as he put it on, I was like, I turned to him and I said, I love you. And I'm so thankful that you created this playlist, but I need like, I want to feel like I'm in a club in 2008. So if you can make that happen, I would be really appreciative. And literally all the nurses were like hysterically laughing. I mean, you would have thought that you were in a nightclub. That, and I was like, I need the music to be loud. I want it to be fun. Like I'm dancing. That's just what I need. So the nurses were dancing, like they truly made it such a fun, I mean, fun. Yeah, but fun experience, honestly. Like I would do it again. I have no problem, but
yeah.
It was just crazy. Like even like trying to recount it now, because the shock was so intense that it was happening right when it was happening. It was just scary, like as much as I hate to admit that, but it was. And you know, with COVID, we had a lot of restrictions on who could be in there. So it was just me and Brennan. And I'm so beyond grateful for that. I wish our doula could have been there. Like, obviously she wasn't able to make it, but it ended up being a good experience. So we, like I said, we took our picture at 3:33. She was born at 4:57. So it was extremely quick. By the time we got from our room, like where they checked me and got me in my robe and everything, to our actual room, it was like less than an hour. And then in 10 minutes, they said, you're at 10, you have to push. I said, I was promised an epidural. I just feel like I've been here for kind of a while. Is someone coming? And they said, I'm so sorry, you're at 10 centimeters. Like, no one's coming. We're just gonna go ahead and do it. And I pushed for 24 minutes and then she was there.
Wow.
And it was honestly, like, I loved just the actual like giving birth to her part. Like I loved it. I thought that it actually made me feel relief from everything that my body was experiencing when I was pushing. I'm grateful that I didn't push for 2 hours. Like some of my friends, God bless them. But for those like 24 minutes, I really did feel like true relief. And, Yeah, I mean, they did a great job. And I'm very thankful to our lovely nurse who took my phone from me and made sure that she got a birth video and some pictures. She was so adamant. She's like, do either of you have your phones? Did you have time to get your phones? I said, yes, my phone is right there. It has a lock on it. So just open it up. One thing I learned is take your lock off your phone so that people can get into it.
Yeah. And, well, you can get into the camera without a lock.
Yes. She was not figuring that out.
Okay.
Yes. So I learned next time, and Brennan could not remember my code to save his life. I must have repeated it to him about 16 times. I think he was just in shock. Yeah. But yeah, she was able to take what I think is a great birth video and some really nice pictures.
That's awesome. Then, I wish I had video.
I mean, the video, I wish it was more like of me, and less, you know, just of the
crowning.
Birth.
Yeah,
literally. But I am so glad that she did it. And honestly, like, I have shown everyone that wants to see it because I just think that it's amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, during, like, looking back, I think, like, after things happen, you can look back and say, like, oh, that makes sense. So in all of our ultrasound pictures, they always kind of joked but said, like, oh, we can't get certain angles because her umbilical cord was in the way. And even, you know, I ended up having to do an ultrasound every week starting at 34 weeks because of her size. And they always said that, like, her cord is in the way, but she's fine. So in our birth video, you can see that the cord was actually, like, wrapped around her neck twice, which now makes sense. Looking back at those pictures, obviously they were never concerned. And the doctor was so quick. And in the video, she says, oh, she has a little necklace, and just took it off, handed her right to me. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was very intense and very quick, thankfully. And not at all like we thought it was going to go, but it was, I say, I'm like, please, universe, like, I hope that every other birth that I have is like that, because
I said,
10 out of 10, would recommend to everyone, labor and delivery.
Oh my gosh, I know. So you got there, you were 4, and mm-hmm. What time did you get there?
So we probably got there... I'm guessing we got there around 3. When I took a picture of us after the doctor had left the room, it was 3:33. So probably
You were still in triage at that point.
We were still in triage at that point. Yeah.
So by the time you got into a room, you were like about to push.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. So you weren't checked again at any point before that?
No. No.
So you just progressed like that. That's so wild. Like that.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I had asked, so my mom has me and my brother, and both of our deliveries, I mean, her story is almost identical to mine, with my brother even faster. Like, they almost had to have him in the elevator before they got up there. That's how quickly it was.
Wow.
And Brennan's mom's story was almost identical to mine as well. And I'd asked, you know, before Reggie was born, like, does genetics have anything to do with it? You know, if my mom, you know, had these things happen, does that have anything? And everyone said, no, that it doesn't. I guess for us, that's just how it happened. I think that that must have something to do with it, but, you know, they say it's random.
I also wonder too, if because you were like, you felt the most comfortable standing, that like gravity really just like whoosh got her down your pelvis real quick.
Really quickly. Yeah. And that's what our doula had said to you. Just because I just outright refused to sit because I was so uncomfortable, but if I was standing up, I was okay. And it really wasn't, until they said, we have to check you again. And I had to lay down, and that's when I was already at 10. But yeah, it was very quick, which I do think having it be that quick was, like, I don't like to use the word traumatic because it was such a great experience, but it was so shocking that you almost, like, I almost just couldn't really process, like, what was happening. after she was born. Like I truly don't remember after she was born. I think I only remember it from pictures until we got up into our room, which I don't even know how long you're in there for, but yeah, I don't remember really anything. Like I was just so shocked that she was even there. But I will say that the universe pulled through with my being four when I arrived, and her birthday is 11/11, which I still think is a great birthday.
It is. That's so awesome. I remember you texted me later that day. I think you texted me a picture and I was shooting a wedding and I was like, oh my gosh, it's 11/11. She's had the baby. Yeah. And then you told me how fast it was. And I was like, oh my gosh, girl. But you're right. Like, you know, people joke and say like, you know, I wish that my labor was that quick, especially the people that had like super long ones. I mean, I'm one of those people, but on the flip side, like you said, it's a lot to process. I felt the same way with like hardly being able to remember those moments right after, because I think your body also just kind of creates so much like natural pain relief and like adrenaline and endorphins for you that you're just kind of like high off of all of that. But it's so much to process as it is. And when you don't have the time to like recognize that it's actually happening, especially when you went from a 4 to a 10 in like an hour, that's a lot. So it's not always the most like desirable thing for everybody either, for that reason, I feel like.
Right, exactly. And yeah, I mean, it was intense. And I will say, you know, so it was Veterans Day, and which most of our friends, a lot of them are teachers or in professions where they're off for, you know, for Veterans Day. So with her being born like right before 5, no one even knew that no one had even woken up yet to get the, hey, I'm in labor text.
Yeah.
People literally woke up to, and they woke up later in the day. So she was born like, yeah, right before 5. Most people didn't even wake up because they didn't have to work until like 8 or 9. So yeah, we had, which we were so excited to tell everyone. So that little 2% of it was a bummer. But honestly, having those solid like 3 to 5 hours where it was just the three of us with no calls, no texts, we couldn't, maybe we could have visitors. I may have fudged and told people that we couldn't, but I'm still glad that we didn't. But
I don't know at that point. I feel like it still was.
I feel like we could, I think we could have one person in labor and delivery and then they had to leave, if I recall. So it was like, we could have 2 support people and then the second person had to leave. Cause that would have been like our doula.
Got it. Yeah.
But honestly, I tell this to all my pregnant friends, I think that COVID rules should apply forever when it comes to labor and delivery, just because it is the most vulnerable time that you'll ever experience, as you know. And it's also just such, like, it was such a learning curve for me. I can't imagine like having people in and out of my room consistently, which for our friends who have had babies in the past, that's pretty much how it was, like a rotating door of people. And I'm just so glad that it wasn't like that, and I'm so glad that everyone slept in. I think the only person that actually answered the phone was my mom at, you know, I don't know, like 5:05 a.m. or something, and she was asleep, and all you hear in the background was the baby crying. Mm-hmm. And then she was crying, and I did like a screen recording to see, you know, how she reacted. And that was just the best. But everyone was so in shock because they woke up to, hey, we think we're in labor. Hey, we're in labor. We're at the hospital. Hey, she was born. She's okay.
Wow. That's so sweet. I love that. I know. I'm with you on the visitor thing. I know some people have always imagined certain people being in the room with them, but you're right. It's kind of like, it's a very intimate experience. You're very vulnerable. You don't really know how you're going to act. You might totally like not want extra bodies or volume or that like energy in the room. Maybe you would, but there's no predicting that. And I was not mad about that part either. When we gave birth at the hospital, the policy was just like husband, partner, support person, whatever. And then you could have a certified doula, but it couldn't be like anybody else. So we had our doula, which I was really grateful for, but then there was like, that was it. No visitors. You just like went home. And that was nice. Cause I was like, it was already enough of a revolving door with the nurse, the pediatrician, the OB checking in. And then like someone's checking your blood pressure every 5 minutes and coming to check the baby every 10 minutes. And you just can't get a break. So if you added extra people on top of that, it would have been even more overwhelming. So I know plenty of people have done it. Plenty of people have enjoyed that, but you're right. It's a nice little like out from feeling any guilt for setting boundaries.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And I know, you know, for my mom, I'm sure that was hard for her. She really wanted to be there. I'm a pretty like private person like anyway. So I feel like even if it weren't COVID, I wouldn't have wanted anyone, but you're right. I didn't have to be the bad guy in this time. Maybe for the next baby, I might have to, but I've told everyone, I said for any and all future babies, 2020 rules apply. So we will see you when we get home, probably in a week after that.
Yeah, that's a completely valid request, to be honest. Like the first weekend you're navigating breastfeeding, or the first week you're navigating breastfeeding, your nipples are probably bleeding. You're like just figuring it out. And
yeah, you need- and you're just so emotional. Like I just feel even if Brennan stopped at a stoplight like too quickly, which probably now would be how I would stop at a stoplight, I just got so upset because she's so little. Like it was just so scary in the beginning that to be around anyone was, and we were around people and it was difficult. Like I just wanted to say like, give me my baby back, please.
Yes, I know. It's tough. Well, I always like to ask this at the end of birth stories. Is there anything besides the COVID rule applying, like that you learned either like about yourself or something that you would like take with you into your next birth experience?
That's a good question. One thing I think I learned was, and this is not like a regret, because I try not to have too many regrets about it, but when she was first born, you know, they put her directly on you and then they kind of bundle them up and then you go to your room. I was so worried about, like, prior to her being born, I was like, I want skin on skin. That is so important to me. We'll just do that the whole time. And because she was just so small and it felt, I was hot, but Brennan was so cold in the room. We had her wrapped up. And now looking back, even when we got home, we really didn't do skin to skin at all. And I'll say that now because she's so wiggly and crazy and running around all over the place. Like, I wish that I'd had more of that time when it was literally just the two of us. And even Brennan got a lot of time like that. Like, he did skin to skin with her every day. And for whatever reason, it's just not something that I did. And so I wish, because there was no one in our hospital room, it really could have just been, you know, her and I doing that. So that's my one big takeaway, is to just have that time and just enjoy it. Like, just put my phone away and not care that a million people are calling or texting me, and asking how she is, and only respond to the people bringing you food. That's also a big takeaway. lay with her and enjoy it. Yeah. And have your spouse take videos of you with them. That is one thing I wish we had done too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can second that. I so wish I had video of when he was first born, or just like more in the hospital and the recovery room, like before we left. We have like pictures, some, but you're just so enthralled and you kind of forget to do things that you might, like, I don't want to say regret later, but like maybe wish so I don't know what's the word that I'm thinking of, long for, like something that you kind of long for afterwards, not regret.
Right, exactly. Yes, yeah, we have so many pictures, but the videos, you know, sometimes I see people's videos in the hospital, like rocking them or feeding them, for like breastfeeding for the first time or anything like that, and I think, you know, that would have been nice to have that.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the next one.
Lessons learned that you stick in your pocket for next time, right?
Exactly.
Well, this was so fun. Do you want to go ahead and let everyone know where they can connect with you if they want to ask you anything or just chat?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can feel free to connect with me on Instagram. My handle, I guess you'd call it, is AKA_Alex_XO. But I have really become very passionate about people's birth stories. So I'm so glad that you do this podcast and I love listening to them. I just think they're so inspiring and just amazing. Like, honestly, what your bodies can do is phenomenal. It's just outstanding to me that people can do it. And, you know, some of my friends who have done the epidural route and the being induced absolutely loved it and had such a great experience. And a friend of mine who, you know, had to have her C-section, and she, I think, is just like a true superhero for being able to recover after that and still work out, which is amazing. Something yeah. I need to do. But yeah, I mean, it's just so cool to hear everyone's stories and be able to talk about it. So thank you for sharing that with everyone.
Thanks for sharing yours. Yeah, it's so neat. Like, I never, until I got pregnant, and now especially after you go through your own birth experience, you realize just how invaluable birth stories are. But it's funny because before being pregnant or becoming a mom was ever really like truly on my radar, I would have never thought that this would be something that so many people love to do and listen to, right? It's like, why do you want to know about someone else's birth story? Like, that's weird to me. But then I think back to, did you ever watch A Baby Story on TLC when you were a kid? And I think back and I'm like, oh wow, I actually used to love that show. So maybe that was just always kind of like deep down in me. And I just didn't find it again until I became a mom myself. But yeah, so fun.
And I think it's important too to share like these such positive experiences, because I feel like when people do talk about labor and delivery, it's always, you know, it's so painful, it's so this, it's so that. And it really does get into people's heads that it's going to be this terrible experience that you just have to get through and survive. But
yeah,
I mean, it really is like amazing if you can work your mindset into that. I mean, I think it does help tremendously.
I agree. And I just like circling back real quick to what you said about how, you know, when you were doing all the research, when you found out you're pregnant, you know, we stop at birth. I was always kind of like that too, up until probably like my second trimester, late second trimester. And I think I did that because I was just so like, I wanted to just shut it out because I was so scared of it. I just gave in to like you said, that notion that society gives you that it's going to be terrible. You're going to be screaming your lungs out. You're going to like hate your partner for the labor. And like, you just have this vision of movies and it being like so damaging. And of course, like there are absolutely traumatic things that happen and situations that happen, but there's so much more to it that you actually do have a say in and have like control over and autonomy. And so that when things, like you said, don't go according to plan, because I guarantee you they won't, you can still feel really positive about your experience because you know, you knew what was happening to you. You knew you had a choice in the matter and you did what you knew was right. You know what I mean? So I encourage you, if you're listening to this, you're probably researching birth already by listening to birth stories. So you're already off to a great start, but don't be scared and like do the digging, because I promise it's so worth it. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. And thank you, Alex, for sharing your awesome story. We will talk to you next week. Bye.